take your Bible as we look in Hebrews chapter 3 once again. Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 7. And I am going to read our entire text. It's the most important part of what will be said this morning. Hebrews 3, verse 7 through chapter 4. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways. As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, let us fear lest any of you should seem to have failed to reach it. For good news came to us just as to them, but the message they heard did not benefit them, because they were not united by faith with those who listened. For we who have believed enter that rest, as he has said, as I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Although his works were finished from the foundation of the world, for he has somewhere spoken of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage he said, they shall not enter my rest. Since, therefore, it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly received the good news failed to enter because of disobedience, again he appoints a certain day, today, saying through David so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. So then, there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God, for whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but we are all naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What a wonderful passage inviting us to find rest, to enter into God's rest. And I don't doubt that you, like me, need that rest, that there's enough stuff happening in everyone's life that wears you out, that beats you down, that makes you long for a place where you can rest, where you can enjoy the presence of God, be secure in the presence of God, be satisfied in the presence of God, be confident that whatever threatens you, whatever enemies there are, they will not defeat you because you are resting in Jesus Christ. Whatever uncertainties of life seem to bother you, when you are resting in God, even though you have no resolution, you have confidence that God does, and you learn to rest. The invitation and promise of Scripture is that we can rest in God through Jesus Christ. We are invited in Christ to begin to experience that rest right now. And we are promised that one day we will enter the ultimate rest, where we will rest forever. This place of rest can only be found in the enjoyment of a relationship with God, who is worshiped and served through Christ by our faith and by our obedience. God invites us to rest. Again, I remind you, as we read through the text, we listened to rest spoken of in a number of different contexts. It tells us that in creation, on the seventh day, God rested. That is, he completed, he finished all that was necessary to provide for man a place where he could worship, where he could be at peace, where he could be safe. The garden was complete. The provision was there. And God was going to meet with humanity day after day, walking with them and talking with them. And when God saw all that he had made, that it was good, all that he had made for man to fellowship with God, he rested. And his intent was that Adam and Eve would have lived in that garden kingdom, that garden temple. And there they would have enjoyed all that God had prepared for them. They would have enjoyed the presence of God. They would have rested every day of their life forever. But they did not believe God's word. Instead, they believed the word of Satan. Has God really said? And they were banished from the garden. And they were banished from rest. But God chose a people, we know, by the name of Israel. And he promised them that he would lead them into a land where they would rest. It would sort of be like a restored Eden. It would be a place of prosperity, milk and honey and vineyards. And God would give them that land where they could rest, and God would defeat their enemies, and they would worship God and believe in God and obey God. But they didn't believe that promise. And everyone over the age of 20 died in the wilderness. They wandered restlessly for 40 years because they did not believe God's promise of rest. And eventually, God led them into the land. And there were times when they rested, when they enjoyed the presence of God. They worshiped God. They were faithful to God. But we know the history of Israel. It's basically a history of unbelief. They doubted God's promise. And so they came to unrest again. And so as Aline read this morning from Psalm 95, a psalm of David, 500 years after they had entered into that land, which was supposed to be a land of rest, God's people are still restless, and God is still inviting them. I'm at rest. I prepare rest. I give rest. You can enter into my rest today if you will hear my voice. Just believe me. And so David appeals to his generation to enter into the rest of God. And then 900 years later, Jesus Christ comes onto the scene, God incarnate. And he now says, if you want rest, the place of rest is not the Garden of Eden. The place of rest is not the land of Canaan. The place of rest is in me, in my kingdom. Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest to your souls. And as the writer of Hebrews writes somewhere in the second half of the first century, he is still reiterating and repeating this promise of God. Come and enter my rest today. It's always today, not tomorrow, not yesterday. It's today. Believe my voice and enter my rest. Our text is about finding this rest and experiencing this rest that God offers us in Jesus Christ. Again, if you will enter into faith in God's word and live a life of believing God's promise, you will enjoy a life of peace. The alternative is we live with anxiety. Paul put it this way in Philippians 4, don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, the rest that God wants you to experience, the peace of God will guard, it will capture and guard your soul. You will be at rest if you learn to trust and believe God's promises. Otherwise, we live in anxiety, and that's where many of us are today. This morning, I want to pick up where I left off last week. I talked a little bit last week about how we find that rest, how we continue to experience that rest in Christ. I said that, first of all, that we need to learn from experience. We have a whole Old Testament history that shows us the consequence of not believing God's word. And the consequence of not believing God's word is restlessness. You will never have peace. And so we saw that if we truly are going to share Christ and the rest that God wants us to have in Christ, the writer of Hebrews says we must hold our original confidence firm to the end. That is, if you want to experience rest in Jesus all your life as a Christian, then you need to take that original confidence. When you repented of your sin, You believe God's offer of salvation in Jesus Christ. You surrendered to Him. God brought peace to your soul. You were at rest. The burden of guilt and shame was gone. That was yours in that moment of conversion. But the writer of Hebrews says, hold it fast. Because it's just not what you believed on that initial day. It's what you believe today. Hold that same confidence firm until the end. Keep repenting of your own self-designed ways to find rest. Keep repenting of your unbelief and keep looking to God's promise of rest and salvation in Jesus Christ today if you will hear His voice. Secondly, we saw that we must watch our hearts. We must guard our hearts. We must keep them with all diligence, lest there be in any one of us an evil, unbelieving heart. And the writer is saying we all have that capacity. And the likelihood is that we all struggled with it at some point, even this week, that we experienced restlessness in our soul because stuff was happening that we thought we could handle on our own, and we were trying to figure it out. We had our own understanding of trying to resolve it, and we weren't trusting God. The writer says, beware lest that evil heart of unbelief captures you and you depart from the living God. So thirdly, we saw, because of that tendency, that possibility that any of us have, we must exhort one another daily. And that's pretty much where I left off last week. I left off encouraging all of us to have somebody in our life who knows what we are struggling with, who knows the sin that we are fighting, who knows those areas of burden that we have a difficult time trusting God for, who knows how we have the tendency to want to rely on our own strength. We need somebody who can not just put their arm around us and say, brother, I care for you, I understand, I feel for you. No, we need something more than that. We need somebody who will exhort us and remind us that the only rest we can have is not the rest that we try to work for, the rest that we try to attain. The only rest we can have is the rest that God gives us by His grace in Jesus Christ. We need somebody all the time in our life reminding us that Jesus Christ is the answer for whatever we're struggling with in life. I not only need to be that kind, need that kind of person in my life, but we all need to be that kind of person. The kind of person who someone can tell us that the depths of the struggles of their heart, can trust us with that, and who can know that we're not just going to empathize, we're not just going to feel with them, though we should do that, but we're going to point them to Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, many of us don't think like that. I've had people say to me, stay out of my life. Don't pry. It's none of your business what's going on. But let me tell you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, it is the business of the people of God to exhort you daily, to know what's going on in your life. And if something is going the wrong way, it is each of our responsibility to daily encourage one another to look to Jesus Christ. So we need to be asking about ourselves, to whom will I grant access to the innermost workings of my heart so that I can be held accountable? Who will I trust with what's really going on inside? And who will pray for that? And who will encourage me to keep looking to Jesus Christ? We need ongoing, mutual exhortation, conversations about Jesus Christ. We should be willing to give these gospel conversations, and we should be willing to receive them. You've heard us say many times how the old reformers used to say that we should preach the gospel to ourselves every day. But we should also preach the gospel to each other every day. We all need to be reminded constantly that our deepest need, our greatest need, is always to be repenting of our sin and trusting God's provision in Jesus Christ. But there's a fourth thing our text moves us to when we think about how can I continually experience this rest that God invites me to. Fourthly, we should always stay exposed to the penetrating Word of God. We should always stay exposed to the penetrating Word of God. If you look in verse 10 for a moment, it says, whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his own works as God did from us. Verse 11, let us therefore strive to enter that rest, so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. Almost sounds like a contradiction, but it's not. He says when we come to that rest in God, where we are believing God's promise, his provision of rest in Jesus Christ, then we cease from our own works. We are no longer attempting by our own power to achieve the life that will bring us rest. We cease from that. It's done. We don't cease from work, but we cease from trying to achieve rest by our own power. But then he says, let us then strive. Now that sounds like work, and in some sense it is work. But it's the work of faith. In the Christian life, we are always striving. We are giving our best effort. We're giving diligence to keep believing in Jesus Christ, to keep trying to understand what are God's promises, how can I believe them, what does God expect of me, how can I obey him. So let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Let us give every effort we can to enjoy the rest that God has for us by diligently fighting for the faith that God wants us to have. And then he says, for the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow. And it discerns the thoughts and intents of the heart. And no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him with whom we have to do. If I will strive to know God's promises and to believe God's promises, then I must always put myself in a place where I am being probed by the Word of God, where the Word of God is exposing me to my unbelief and to my doubts and to my idolatries and to all of those things. I will never strive to enter unless the Word of God is exposing the deepest ugliness of my heart. This is the power of the Word of God. As I understand Scripture, for many years, of course, people didn't have the privilege that we have. I can wake up every day and read the Bible. But for many years, people depended on hearing the Word of God. And God never revoked that. God has always intended for His people on a weekly basis to be in a place where the Word of God is opened and where that sword of the Word of God can penetrate deep into their soul and expose them to those idolatries and that unbelief and that sin that is there, so that they can always be repenting and always be pointed to the provision that God gives us in Jesus Christ. He intends public worship to be a time when preaching exposes us to the state of our own heart. Listen to the words of Paul to the young preacher. He says to Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and in Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Now, why did Paul say that to Timothy? Why did he tell this young pastor, preach the word, always preach the word? It doesn't matter what time of life, what circumstances of life are happening, preach the word of God. Well, he said that because he had just said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine and for reproof and for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. It's the word of God. It's powerful. It exposes us. It rebukes us. The writer of Hebrews reminds his readers that before God, every one of us is naked. We are good at clothing ourselves before others. And I don't mean just putting on a pants and shirt. I mean, we can hide well the idolatries and the unbelief and the sin of our lives, so that nobody knows what's really going on in our life. We're good at that. But the writer of Hebrews reminds his readers that before God, you are always naked. Down to the very depth of your soul, you are naked before God. He sees everything. But you don't see it sometimes, because even your own heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and you can think better of yourself than you really are. So the writer says we need the Word of God, which helps us to see what God sees when He sees our naked soul. The Word of God exposes that. It goes deep. It cuts open. It lays bare. And it says, John, this is what's wrong with your life. This is what's wrong with your thinking. This is what's wrong with your self-sufficiency. This is what's wrong with your fear. This is what's wrong with your idolatries and your ambitions. You need Jesus Christ. You need to look again to Him for your sufficiency and your safety and your satisfaction in life. When you forsake public worship and private worship, which you have the privilege of, having God's word in your hand every day, but when you forsake exposure to the Word of God, you become blind or deceived as to the true nature of your heart. Let me tell you that if you came to church every Sunday and always felt good about yourself, you are probably in the wrong church. You are probably not in a Bible preaching church. You may be listening to Joel Osteen or Kenneth Copeland, but you're not listening to the Word of God, which is always exposing us before the eyes of a holy God and calling us not to self-sufficiency, but to repentance and to humble faith in Jesus Christ. When you forsake daily prayer and meditation on the Word of God, when you, because of inconvenience, cannot, do not worship God regularly on the Lord's Day, then you are already on a road that eventually leads to an unbelieving, an evil, unbelieving heart, which will eventually bring you to a place of restlessness in your life. Remember, the repeated word in our text is today. Today, God invites you to this rest. Today, God calls you to repentance. Today, if you hear His voice in the Word, today, repent. Today, believe. So where are you today? Today, are you hearing God speak to you through His Word? Today, are you seeing your sin? Today, are you aware of your wayward heart? Today, do you see some of your idolatrous desires? We need the Word of God because of the deceitfulness of the power of sin. John Piper reminds us of the deceit of sin. He says, sin whispers through the desires of the flesh and the rationalizations of the mind. Sin whispers that your only hope of future happiness is to have an abortion. It whispers that you will not have a chance in the future if you don't cheat on this test. It says that you won't be noticed and liked if you don't dress provocatively. It says you will lose the person who seems to care for you if you don't compromise your sexual standards. Sin says you won't have job security if you speak up about the dishonest practices at work. It says your life will be wasted in this relationship if you don't get a divorce. It says that only a fool would go on looking weak instead of getting some kind of revenge. Sin is always telling us deceiving lies. And unless we're in the Word of God, which is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, that's exposing us to the nakedness that God sees in our hearts. Unless we're in the Word of God, we're living lives being deceived by our own hearts. And lastly, in our text, we should never lose sight as we seek to enjoy the rest that God promises us in Christ. We should never lose sight of Jesus Christ, our advocate. We have a high priest, he says. He's one who really does sympathize with you. He knows your struggle. He doesn't know your shame or your guilt because you've given in to your struggles. But he knows the struggle. He was tempted, our writer says, in all points. He faced the strongest of temptations, but he never gave in to them. Satan brought his best, his most powerful against him, but he never gave in to them. But he knows what it is to face the temptation of sin. He sympathizes with you. But he doesn't just sympathize. He knows you need grace. He knows you need mercy. And we may know that about each other, but we have no capacity to give it. But he says we can come boldly to the throne of grace. And we can find grace and mercy to help us in time of need. That we have a high priest who secured not only our redemption by his death and resurrection, we have a high priest who secures our resources to live and enjoy the rest that God has promised us. Come, he says, I will give you grace and mercy in time of need. The writer says, since we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, he repeats again, let us hold fast our confession. Our confession that I cannot achieve my own rest. Only God, by his grace, can give me rest in Jesus Christ. Hold fast your confession that all you need is in Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we? While our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, when we come to the last book of the Bible, it talks about rest and restlessness. It talks about those who die without Jesus Christ, who not only lived lives without rest, but they live in a place for eternity where there is no rest, day or night. Among all of the other torments of hell, there is no rest, day or night. But then it talks about those who die in the Lord. And it says, they are at rest. I'm sure there are some here this morning who, though there was a day in your life when you trusted Christ and you initially experienced that peace, that rest that God gives, that as a Christian you've strayed, other things have come in, your faith has wavered, and you have anxiety and restlessness in your soul today. And the only remedy for that is to repent and believe in Jesus Christ, that God promises you that if you trust him and trust his provision in Christ, he will give you rest to your soul. And I pray that some of you as Christians will do that this morning. But then there are some here today that if you were to die today, that restlessness that you have in your soul today would then become an eternal restlessness without any possibility of resolution. God invites you to enter his rest today. Right where you sit, if you could simply say something like this, Father, I know that I'm a sinner, and I know that I'm incapable of finding rest on my own. I want to be forgiven. I believe that Jesus died for my salvation and died to secure my peace. And today I trust him. I repent and I put my faith in Jesus Christ. If you say that in this moment, God in this moment will bring rest to your soul. And if you will keep trusting God and believing his promise, he will bring rest to your soul throughout all of the ups and downs of life. I wonder, before I pray this morning, if I could pray for you. If you would say, as a Christian, God speaking to my heart about what's going on in my life, and I need to come to new repentance and new faith in Jesus Christ. God speaking to me today. Would you share that with me? Just slipping your hand up where you are. Yes, I'm a Christian, but God is speaking to my heart today. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes. Yes, I see that, sir. Thank you. Yes. 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 God bless you. Father, we believe your promise to give rest. Help us to live lives before you of repentance and faith, always allowing our hearts to be exposed to the Word of God so that we can see ourselves as you see us, so that we can repent and be pointed again to Jesus to find that grace and mercy we need for life. Bless these men and women this morning as they strive to keep believing your promise. And while our heads are still bowed and eyes are closed, I wonder if there is anyone today who, for the first time in your heart, you said, I'm going to repent and trust Jesus Christ to be my Lord and my Savior. Is there anyone like that that would share that with me today? Today, this is the beginning of finding rest in Jesus Christ. Anyone like that? Just share it with me. Just slip your hand up and take it back down. Yes, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you. Anyone else? Father, bless this dear lady. Give her assurance that she belongs to you, that you have given her forgiveness and new life in Christ, and encourage her, bring people into her life that will keep pointing her to Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.